I'm Jordan Weitzman, and you're listening to Magic Hour. On a recent trip passing through Milan, I stopped into Mi Camera to talk to Giulia Zorzi about her legendary bookshop. She started in 2003 with Flavio Franzoni and has since become one of the best photo bookstores in the world. Just something really special about it, the way that the shop looks and feels, the front room with new titles and the back room, more like a history of the photo book museum where you could find a range of the classics. Giulia has become a fixture in the photo book community, and hers and Flavio's efforts have supported and promoted many of the photographers who've been on this show. Mi Camera became a gallery too, and a venue for workshops with photographers from around the world who passed through. It's a pretty incredible place if you haven't been. We sat down in the grotto, the basement of the store, dimly lit, where Giulia told me about her early days working in music. Just like that.
That's easy. I can do this.
You sound great. You have a very good radio voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was my dream, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
To be on the radio?
To be on the radio.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, Flavia and myself, we used to play making the radio when we met. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
What did you want to do? You wanted to have a show?
To have a show. Yeah, music.
And it's funny because you and Flavio met at a record store, right?
We did, yes.
First of all, Flavio is your partner.
He was your partner. Yes.
Okay. What's the history with you guys?
We met in the record store.
Yeah.
Which was not a very special record store. I think it inspired Mi Camera a lot. It was really a beautiful record store. The owners were really, they knew everything about music, so you would go there to discover new music, to buy CDs or LPs back then that you didn't know about. You know. So you went to discover things, and that's where we met. Hmm. We were both customers of the store.
But you were both into music. Like you were hanging out at the record store. How did photography come into play? Like where was that interest?
It was Flavio. Flavio worked also as a photographer for music magazine.
Mm-hmm.
He had rehearsal rooms and he liked photography a lot. So I really knew nothing about photography back then. Well, I had been to a few exhibitions, but that was it. And then one day we, for a complicated series of events, we found ourselves with a very small baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not complicated. and without a job. And we were thinking of what to do in our lives. And it was a beautiful period of our life. We were very much in love. And we were very young,
mm-hmm.
Felt very positive.
Optimistic.
Very optimistic. Uh-huh. And we really wanted to do something together that we loved both. And Flavio came up with the idea of selling photo books. And we found a shop just in the same building where we are now. It was very small, 24 square meters.
Very small.
Very small. And next to us, the owner of our place, we rented the place. The owner had a shop next door, a furniture shop, which was perfect because we started very early inviting artists to the book signings, which was also something pretty unusual, especially in photography. No one had done it, at least in Italy. I'm not sure about other places. And we could do it in his shop, in the furniture shop, because he had chairs, people could sit down and listen to photographers speaking. I remember we had 9 chairs at the beginning.
Uh-huh. You remember 9?
Yeah, because Ferdinando Scianna, the Italian photographer, he came for a talk about photo books.
Uh-huh.
And he counted the chair. I remember that he was saying, it's really nice to be in a place for 9 people. and so that's how it started.
Huh. Interesting. And did Flavio already have very eccentric tastes and he knew a lot about lots of things? Did he have a big collection of books?
No, we didn't have a big collection of books because we couldn't even afford it back then. So it was also a way to buy the books because, you felt less guilty in buying books that you were supposed to sell.
Right.
And he, for the first year, between 2002 and 2003, I was working. I used to work at La Scala back then.
What was La Scala?
The opera house in Milan.
Huh.
At Teatro La Scala.
What did you do there?
I was working in the record store of La Scala back then, in that period of my life. I changed many jobs. In that period, I was working at La Scala, which was a beautiful job because you could see the operas every night and the concerts. Yeah, it was amazing. So anyway, I was working. We had the baby. And Flavio was studying. He was, you know, he was buying books and catalogs and studying catalogs, basically.
Hmm.
And then I was good at organizing things. It was a skill I had. I had been working in that, in other, you know, in the music field. I spoke English and German and French, so that was kind of helpful. And my job was to find a way to get the books over. At the beginning, we used to buy from Strand Bookstore in New York.
Really?
The first books, yeah.
Directly, like,
Yeah, I remember the first really, you know, I remember these books arriving, and the first very special thing is the book of 101 books that we bought in the trade edition from Strand Bookstore, and they did a mistake, and they sent us the very special edition, you know, with the leather.
Mm-hmm.
I still have it.
Wow.
And that we were so happy about. I hope they won't ask me to give it back now. Maybe I shouldn't say it. You know? And that's how Flavio started studying.
Hmm.
And he's very gifted in also in music and in photography as well. Simply, I think.
Like encyclopedic knowledge, very...
But very talented in understanding when a book is good or when a record is good for the most different reasons. So he doesn't have a particular style, you would say, or category. He understands when something is good. That's, you know.
Yeah.
He's really talented in that.
Have you figured out what that is yet?
How? Not yet.
No?
I think it's...
Like, or what that is for him. Like, do you know when he's going to like a book?
Oh, sort of. I mean, we've been living together for almost 20 years, so I think I know. I can understand, but not completely.
Hmm.
Still surprises me.
Still surprises you.
And generally has... you know, chooses the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very important because books cannot be returned. So when you buy a book, you keep it.
Yeah.
And if you're not good at buying books, it's a disaster economically.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's a little easier because Mi Kamera is, you know.
A bit bigger.
A bit bigger, much bigger than the beginning, of course. And you can make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning, we couldn't really make many mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And this is what? This is like 20 years ago?
This is, it was, he started studying and buying in 2002.
2002.
Then the shop opened to the public 2003.
Do you feel like, do you remember that time as a very different time? Or is it like, has it been a progression?
No, it's totally different. It's
totally
like speaking
different.
Of another century.
Really?
But for all things, you know, for photo books, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, trying to find ways to buy books, and it was kind of easy in a way because you had few distributors, so you bought and few publishers, much less than today, so you could kind of organize things once you understood how it, you know, how it was structured. You could organize things pretty easily, and also there was a non-written rule about the discount you had, the conditions, the payments. Now, every time I have the feeling I have to renegotiate the discount. And of course, it's easier now for me because I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can go quicker. But if I had to start today and open a bookshop today, it would be really difficult.
Hmm.
Even to understand what is right, what is wrong. I have a very clear idea now.
Mm-hmm.
What I can ask, what are the conditions, I know how much a book costs, more or less, what is a fair thing.
Yeah, and it must be also, I'm just thinking about how you've been in business for over 20 years, which is quite a feat in and of itself, and part of it is, you know, obviously relying on your taste and what books you like, but also there's the commercial aspect too, knowing what's going to sell, keeping the business going. And it's a very interesting discussion in terms of photo books because so little money is made in photo books. in art books in general. It's not, you definitely don't go into this business to make money.
It's absolutely. Then you can live by it, which is already an amazing result. I mean, we live with Mikamega, so.
Right.
This is, you know, it's a very successful story, if you want. It's like an artist who lives selling his artwork. For us, Mikamega is, you know, our artwork.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Oh, and it feels that way too. I mean, it's really one of the best photo book stores in the world. I mean, just to see the, you know, the selection of new titles, the selection of used books. I mean, it's like a photo book museum coming into the store.
Thank you. I think many things contributed to that. First, going back to the first thing you said, when we opened the bookshop, nobody knew in Italy about photo books at all. There was a photo bookshop in Turin called Agora. Mm-hmm. Then they closed, and so it was only us. So basically, there was no audience. Mm-hmm. We had to create our own audience, and this created a very peculiar situation, at least for us, because we had to come up with ideas for explaining these books to an audience that we had to build ourselves. So we started having book signings, which was something that we came up just to, you know, find a way to get the news on the, you know, on the newspaper, so that people would come and meet us and discover the bookshop.
Mm-hmm.
Then we started doing very small exhibitions, even in the smaller place. You know, we had really a tiny wall. And I remember my mother used to do the cake. And, you know, it was really very simple. But starting with that, it kind of got us in touch with photographers. When they came to Milan, they came by, and we started to meet people and to understand what would be a good way to do things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, no, it's amazing, because I feel like that's one of the really interesting things with what you guys have done here, is that it seems like it's such a melting pot of interesting people coming through all the time. It's almost like a record store. There's something very romantic about it in a way.
I think music was always a big inspiration. The way we were treating artists, I was used to working in festivals and being, you know, the organizer of concerts. But I think, generally speaking, the way you deal with artists, for me, like, I don't know, paying immediately or, you know, being, it's something that came from my live concert experience. Mm-hmm. You know, and kind of, it was very natural as a way to work.
Yeah.
And also, we didn't know anybody in photography when we started. We had no idea, really didn't know anybody. So I think we approached this world without any bias or any, you know, it was really buying the books you like because you saw the book, not because you knew the photographer or someone would have recommended the book.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very direct way. And then I remember books arrived home and we were looking at books in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And learning from them, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's the amazing thing with photography, is that that's how it's such a, because the book is such an expression, like in the medium, it's like almost the ultimate expression of a photographer. You have these final things that you can take home and look at and live with and be with that you don't have in other, well, maybe in music you do. There's that analogy. But you definitely don't have it in painting. You don't have it in sculpture. It's very unique to photography in a way.
Also, there's something I miss from these days. We had more time to spend with books, and it was quieter. There were no expectations. Now, of course, it became a job. Sometimes you don't really look at old books carefully. You live through them. You look quickly.
Yeah.
You don't always have the time to sit with a book. I mean, the amount of books has been growing so much, it's impossible to look at all books slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is maybe one of us or customer of somebody really likes a book, and then you go back to it, and then you take more time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So when you started off, you were talking about this small store that you have. It was 24 square meters, 250 square feet. Did you have several stores before you moved into this one now?
No, that was... No.
You had that one for a while?
We had that one for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And then it's in the same building, actually. It's really, then this one, because we were working in the same building, we saw the, you know, the sign.
Mm-hmm.
It was saying they were selling this place, and we went and asked if we could rent it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said yes, so we moved in.
Hmm.
You know, exactly 3 years later. We opened November 2006, we moved into this place.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was a big change because, you know, it's much bigger. This is 190 square meters, so it's a very big difference. And this has a toilet, which also made a big difference.
A big advantage.
And then here we could organize talks.
Mm-hmm.
And the first exhibitions, you know, it became much easier.
This is where you happen right now, where we're sitting. We're sitting in the, it's a beautiful basement. I mean, it's a basement, but it's a...
Gaspar calls it the grotto.
The grotto. It feels like a grotto. It's like, you know, it's there's a brick, a brick-laid vault.
It's the basement. We use it for workshops and talks.
What were the like past few workshops that you've done?
Well, we're doing very few of them lately. Mm. I wanted to have this series of curating photography workshops, and I started now maybe 6 months ago with David Campani,
because
I think that was what I really needed to organize. Usually, I do workshops for myself basically
because you want to do it.
Because I want to do them.
Yeah.
I want to learn from somebody. I invite them for a workshop. It has been also my education.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, we had Aaron Schumann. That was wonderful recently,
and
that's a tradition of Mikama. When we open an exhibition, we do a workshop with a photographer exhibiting. It's like with books also. You have to explain what you're showing, what it means. And so it's kind of perfect to have the photographer, you know, teaching a 2 days workshop and talking about his own work and seeing, of course, also the work of the students. But basically, workshops for me are meant to get to know the photographer, his background, his inspirations or her inspirations, and learn from them.
I'm just thinking about what you were talking about with how you, the people that you bring in for workshops and to do and to lecture are the people who you want to learn from, who you're interested in anyways. And I feel very similarly with the podcast, with doing this. That's how I feel like I've always sort of invited people on, is that I get into someone's work for whatever reason. And then, you know, you just want to meet them and know more and then hopefully it's a good conversation. But that's always been my barometer, is if you're interested in yourself.
I can totally understand it. And I think you can feel that. So it gives also, you know, without you know that you know it, you know, that you're totally aware of it, you have something that you are discovering that, you know, keeps all these people also together.
And it's funny because one of the challenges is always, you know, you do your research and you could learn about someone and their work or their history or their background. But then if you know something, you don't want to ask the person about it. You want it to be interesting for you and for them. So hopefully it just becomes a good conversation, and that's all you could really hope for. And that's the best you could get.
And probably even Mikama is a long conversation, you know, in a way, absolutely. It's Flavio, us and people who come here, all the different influences that we had along the way. You know, it's like you always discover something, you want to know more, you buy the book and then you go to the next one. And that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. What does your day look like every day?
I wake up at 5 o'clock.
Do you?
I do.
Oh yeah, you're an early riser.
I'm an early riser. That's actually my favorite time of the day since ever.
Me too.
Because it's, you know, belongs to me only. So I actually read or write, or sometimes I work. You know, over these 20 years, everything has changed so much. I have the feeling if I say this is my daily routine, then in 2 months it would be completely different.
And how does the work split between you and Flavio now?
So I am the backbone, the organization of Micamera. So I order books, I know the publishers, I know the artists. I would, anything that is practical, Flavio is not really good at.
So you guys are a good team. Yeah.
Yeah. Flavio chooses the books. He's the one who does the selection for Micamera. So actually he would be the important guy. Now it's more... I can choose books myself, you know, I don't even ask, I just order them. If I like something, I just add it to the order, or I change quantities. Mm-hmm. But because we're 20 years now, so I, you know, I discovered a lot. And then what I do is I decide all the exhibitions, all mm-hmm. the talks. That's on me. There are some things I'm very proud I did. Like I think I did the first exhibition by Mark Steinmetz in Europe back in 2011 at the festival. And that was amazing. I remember that came from the Nazreli books. The trilogy had just been released. And I perfectly remember with Flavio talking about that and saying, you know, I really love this work. We got really passionate about Mark's work. And then we thought, maybe it's too American for Italians. You know, maybe they wouldn't understand it. And then we said, we just do it. We invited Mark, and the exhibition was incredibly successful. People loved it. Mm. And so it's something that I'm still very proud of. And we did the first exhibition by Gregory Halper and Zezex. Before I invited Greg, before the book was released.
I remember that, yeah.
And then he said, you know, I'm having the book soon, so maybe you should wait until the book is out.
Yeah.
So we waited. And so we launched the book here, and it became really famous and successful.
Yeah.
I must say, over these 20 years, there's so many things I'm proud of and even happy of having seen, you know, having met some people.
What do you still get excited about?
Well, the most exciting thing is to see how it changes over time mm-hmm. so much. I mean, apart from the years... I don't know, like at the beginning it was so hard to sell a photo book, and then it started, I think, with Alex Soth and the first book that we sold a lot of copies of,
Sleeping by the Mississippi. Really,
that was the first book that we really sold well.
Huh.
That you started ordering not 2 copies but maybe 10, you were daring, and then maybe 15, then you reorder, and so maybe 20. And then Christian Patterson, Red-Headed Peckerwood, also was a big seller.
Really?
Exciting is any beautiful book that you fall in love with, it's still exciting.
Yeah.
When something comes, it will be a Micamera, you know, we receive books and then we, you know, they open up the boxes and then Flavio will shut. You should come to see this book. And I run down.
Yeah.
And we take, you know, we don't look at all books, but we still spend time on some books, really looking at them closely. Mm-hmm. It's still something, still happens that someone would, you know, stop everything and say, no, this, come here, we should all look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You were talking before about when you, at the beginning, how you really nurtured an audience and that sort of grew. Do you feel like who is your audience? What are the qualities of your audience?
Okay, that also changed over time a lot.
How?
Well, in any sense, at the beginning, our audience was older.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the profile would be someone over 40, you know, probably someone who travels, so has been in, you know, so even economically richer, I mm-hmm. would say, so, and older, definitely. Now the audience is very young. We have a lot of young people coming and buying, and there are so many factors that change the audience, not only... you know, what is happening in society generally and how photography now is much, and photo books are much more into the general culture of art culture, I would say, you know, it's mm-hmm. more taken for granted. You know, a younger person would walk in and would understand what a photo book is very easily, what a good book is.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2003, they had no idea. I mean, you would go to school, they had never seen really a photo book. So that changed dramatically. And also what the area where we are changed a lot.
The area.
So that makes a difference because we have a lot of fashion people now living in the area. So now a lot of fashion people or design people come to the bookshop to find inspiration for the work, to buy books. You know, a publisher like Mac, for example, that is really distributing and promoting, really, you know, pushing a lot the books they produce. This also, you know, spread. Mm-hmm. Made you know, it was more for few people before. Now it's more for everybody.
The Mac was a big proponent in that, you think?
I think so. Yeah, in the way they are really efficient in the way they produce, distribute, promote books. I think among all publishers, it's the most efficient. I know. My idea of a perfect publisher, it's not. No, it's Julia's idea of a perfect publisher.
Yeah, let's hear.
No, it's that. That perfect moment where you do not too many books, you just get the, you know, I can feel your character. You have an identity that I can really recognize. Mm-hmm. You surprise me. Mm-hmm. And every book is special.
Right.
That's a perfect moment. It's like with music labels, really, isn't it?
It's like with labels, and it's also even you could even liken it to work, to, I don't know, to an artist and how they make work, you know? I mean, it's a very similar thing. Those qualities you're describing are very similar.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they are for every, you know, very different activities also. So it's interesting to see.
Yeah, or maybe even you could even liken it to to the quality of a particular photo book. What makes a good book?
What makes a good book? It's a very good question. Yeah. You know, in a way, it's an obvious answer. You know, good photographs first, you know, good design, all the paper. I must say, now there are a lot of good books because people are much more aware of this, and it's difficult to see a really bad book. Which was more common before. It's like there's a language. There's some things that have been acquired, and then it has to be a really good book. You have to have a message in the book that is the right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think of Periferique, Buissa. That book is really good.
You love that one?
I love that one.
Yeah.
I love the work. I think it was in the perfect moment. How it speaks to things. You know, how it relates to. Also the issue of collaborating with people, this stage reality, we call it real fiction. That is very important, apart from the object. And then the object is very well done. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think that book is kind of, was perfect in the moment.
Yeah.
Then there are good books for the most different reason. And Max Steinmetz's book is always always good.
Yeah.
There are some works that are eternal, and in any moment you just enjoy them. A classic book with beautiful, you know, that kind of object is always a pleasure to see.
Yeah.
It's like listening to classical music, you know.
Yeah.
You always enjoy it. And then there's that song in that, or that album that in that moment is kind of the album.
Yeah. Amazing. So what else have you been up to? What else? You started also doing, so you have the bookshop, you have the gallery space in the bookshop, you do signings, you do workshops, lectures sometimes. Now also you're also representing photographers too?
I do. Yes.
How do you do it all?
I wake up at 5 o'clock.
You wake up at 5 o'clock. Yeah, exactly.
Now what I'm trying to do is, very simply, making my camera a little larger to have people working here on a, you know, on a permanent basis. We have Eugenio now, who's a very good bookseller. Mm-hmm. He's 25 years old and he's really becoming, you know, He could basically ask me anything. I would never let him go because it became so important for us. So it's more a shared project. Before it was only Flavio and me, and now the idea is to work with other people. And I would like to, you know, to focus more on bringing, my mission is bringing exhibitions of contemporary photography in public spaces, which is very difficult to do as an independent, and I feel I could bring something. So I'm trying to do that. And then, and then the bookshop would, you know, hopefully younger people will help continuing the bookshop. I hope I won't work so much for many years still. And I don't know. And then I like teaching now sometimes.
What do you like teaching?
I like being with younger people and you know, having and talking about them. I feel they give me a lot, and it's very interesting. And they need also mi camera in a way, because they don't know so much about photo books.
You like teaching photo books?
I teach photo books.
Really? Yeah. You teach a class or?
I sometimes teach a class. Like I bring photo books and I tell them why these are interesting. And we talk about that.
Oh, I want to take that class.
And then it's good because I can bring physical books. And they don't know so much about photo books. That's still something that in Italy is coming, is growing. I mean, now we have Italian publishers. Mm-hmm. When we opened Bicamera, Italian publishers didn't basically exist. Mm-hmm. There was Contrasto, but there was no good Italian publisher. So it was like working in the desert. These had bad sides, but also very good sides, because you could be the first one. Like really bringing something.
Yeah.
And that was, I had a feeling of a mission, you know? And now it sounds a bit exaggerated, but it had that kind of feeling of being, you know, doing something that nobody else was doing.
Right.
And then there's a very beautiful community around the world, you know, like you are part of the community, or Jason that we are having right now in the gallery.
Yeah, Jason Fulford, who has a show up right now. Of the new work.
So all these people I met at fairs and buying books, inviting them here, and it's really a beautiful community of people. They're all passionate.
It really is. And it's such a small world when everyone, you know, there's a book fair and really everyone gathers and sees everyone. It's...
I was telling Eugenia before that, knowing about this interview, I was, you know, looking at something online, and I really quickly, and I wanted to see when Offprint in Paris had started, you know, which year. So I said Offprint, I tried 2011, then 2010. It was 2010, and there's a video online of the Offprint. And it's so funny because you could see the same people, but much younger. It was a feeling of, you know, when you look at the photographs of your high school class.
Yeah.
Same feeling.
Same feeling.
You know, look how he was young. He had the hair still. And that gives an idea of how the community is. So,
And people stick with it. Because people, I feel like, really do it in the first place because they love it. It's such a labor of love. That was my conversation with Giulia Zorzi that we recorded in Milan. This episode is produced by me, Jordan Weitzman, and was edited by Aidan McMahon. Original music for the show by Adam Feingold. To find out more about the show and our books, visit us at magichourphoto.org and follow us on Instagram at magichourpodcast. We've got lots of exciting things in the works, so stay tuned for more soon. See you next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.